Don't worry about anything but in everything but prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Exodus further, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Father, thank you again for the wisdom of your word, the eternal counsel, the guidance, the insight, the understanding, the power, and the encouragement that comes from your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is an accurate guide for all people everywhere, under all circumstances, in all cultures and all nations. Father, more and more, open our eyes and our hearts to see that the truth of your word blesses us, and it blesses our homes, our families, our communities, our states, our nations, and the world. Empower us to be a people that are committed to being hearers and doers of your word more and more. And stir us as the church to be committed to preaching the truth and boldly living the truth. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for loving us first. Father, I ask that you'd help the church, help all of us, help me, help Pastor Joseph, help all of our listeners to grow in compassion for our neighbors. Father, I ask that that you would help us to have compassion on all that you love, as you have already showed us loving kindness. Father, help us grow in compassion for everybody made in your image. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Our Ten Commandments Project proceeds. It's continuing on through this month. And keep in mind, specifically, the Ten Commandments speech challenge is underway got underway June 1st. And the speeches can be submitted throughout the month of June. And that deadline ends June the 30th. And so, once again, we're encouraging young folks ages 7 to 17 to get involved. Basically, we're encouraging you to write a speech or get someone to help you to write a speech based on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Simply record it on your cell phone or any other recording device and email it to faq@afa.net or to joseph@afr.net and email that video to us. And you just may get a chance to hear your speech on the broadcast. In fact, we're encouraging every young person that does submit one. Our hope is to have you to come on a broadcast for us to be able to both share your speech and you talk about how you learned or what you learned and how you grew through the process of doing this. So we're hoping to involve as many young folks that participate in the speech challenge as we can. So to every believer listening, consider encouraging your child, your grandchild to get involved. And grandparents, this is a great thing to help getting grandkids involved with and other young people that you may know. It's a fun project. Remember, it's a discipleship project. But more important, it's a critical part of doing what God has called the church to do. Go into all the world and make disciples. We're to be diligent and deliberate about helping our children to become diligent disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a true disciple is a kingdom warrior, because like it or not, real discipleship involves preparing us for the spiritual warfare of life. And so parents, again, grandparents, and just persons that work with young people, encourage your young folks to get involved. Remember, one of the other parts of the Ten Commandments Project is simply, if your child or the young person you know memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them to you or to another adult, all we need from you is a phone call giving us his or her size and a mailing address, and we will drop a Ten Commandments t-shirt in the mail to that person as well. And remember, it's about planting the Word of God in the hearts of our children. So we hope that you will choose to get involved. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Susan Klein. She's the Executive Director of Missouri Right to Life. Susan, how are you today?
I'm doing great today, Pastor Joseph. How are you?
Doing very well. Very well. Thank you for taking the time to be on with us today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about who Missouri Right to Life is and what you do.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on today. I'm blessed to be with you and Isaac. And I just appreciate very much the work that you do and the ministry that you have. I am Susan Klein. As you said, I'm the executive director, and I am the chief lobbyist for Missouri Right to Life. I've been with Missouri Right to Life for 28 years, and I never thought that I would be doing pro-life work. I always thought that I always was pro-life, pro-life. But I know that being pro-life sometimes is always a battle. And I really prayed about whether I would, become part of Missouri Right to Life, and God led me down this path that has been such a tremendous blessing to serve Him in this work. Missouri Right to Life is a wonderful organization. We are one of the National Right to Life affiliates from across the United States, and Missouri Right to Life is really made up of three parts. We work through our education fund. We work to bring the truth about life and how precious it is, and that we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made by God from the very moment of conception. So we work through our chapters and regions across the state of Missouri to educate people about life and about all the different helps that they have, that they can choose life to have a baby instead of do an abortion. Our second part is our legislative arm, and this is where we work to pass legislation to protect life from the moment of conception all the way through end-of-life issues. So we work on every front with all of our legislators that we have in our state as well as Washington, D.C. And then our third part, I always say, you know, people, this is the part that people either love to love or love to hate, and that's our political action committees. And we have a state political action committee that works to give us pro-life legislators to work with. We have a federal political action committee that works on making sure that we have pro-life legislators in Washington to help us all as a nation to value and cherish life from the very beginning to the very end of natural death. And then I always say we have a political action committee that is a super PAC, and you always hear, you know, terrible things about super PAC, but I always like to say that ours is one that you can love. It is called our Victory Fund, and this is where we fight in Washington, D.C., to make sure that we have good legislation and good legislators to work with. So without all the three parts working together, we wouldn't be where we are in Missouri. You know, being able to fight the fight that we have on life. And sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes we don't always win, but we always know, you know, that God is in charge and he will be with us as we fight the next battle ahead of us. And I'm going to share a lot about that today as you and I talk about it, Pastor.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, an honor to have you. And Susan, I would ask if you'll take a moment now specifically to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear any and all the Lord wants them to hear in it. Because I think, for example, amongst other things, some will probably just be impressed to the Lord to really pray for you and the work of other great life ministries that are out there on the front lines. There may be some that feel led of the Lord to become volunteers to work with a ministry like yours or specifically with Missouri Right to Life. And then there might be some God is calling them to come and become a part of your staff and somewhere in aid to work. But would you pray for our listeners at this time?
Yes. Father, I just thank you for your love for all of us. I know that you are there with us, that you guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. Sometimes we might look the other way, but you have never left us. You're always with us. I do pray for all of those that are listening today that you'll hear the compassion that we feel for all of those that that we come in contact with, that we're looking for that open door to share your love and grace and peace and forgiveness with each one that we talk to. We pray for those that are looking for something in their life, whether they're in a situation that they're trying to choose what to do and what the next step will be. We pray for them that they will choose life and they will choose a right path that walks along in hand in your word. I pray for those that may have chosen abortion before. God, you're a God of forgiveness, and we just know that you love them as much as you love us. We're all sinners. We just want to make sure that we try to choose the right thing to do as we move forward. I pray for those that are looking for, you know, how they can be involved in this work. It is a challenge, yes, but it is such a blessing, and you bless us every day in everything that we do to try to help people get the truth about every life and how you love every one of us. I pray that you be with us today as we talk about the issues and that you be with the ministry of Pastor Joseph and that you'll just lift him up and give him all that he needs to continue to do the work that he does. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for Susan Klein. Thank you for her staff and all those that are part of Missouri Right to Life. Thank you for the board. And thank you, Lord, for the many people that pray for them, give financially to them, and all those that in some way or another work with them. Thank you for the national ministry and many other ministries out there that are standing for life. Anoint this and all the rest of these ministries with a fresh anointing to do the work you've called them to for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Susan Klein, Executive Director of Missouri Right to Life. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard a love song that set your spirit free? Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's here? with a stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
The music of Mandisa with God speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Susan Klein. She's the executive director of Missouri Right to Life. And Susan, before you go further into what you were going to share, I want to just mention this. You know, the initial passage that we read was about two midwives mentioned, I believe there's not mentioned anywhere else in all of Scripture except in Exodus chapter 1. But there, to me, these two women, Shipra and Pua, stand as tremendous role models for the people of God for all times because they courageously stood up in what would appear to be kind of a dangerous situation because the government, which was Pharaoh, said to kill the baby boys, and they refused to do it because they knew, well, it says they feared God. They knew killing babies was wrong, and so they stood up to what Pharaoh told them and refused to do it. And when confronted, God gave them ingenuity to actually outsmart Pharaoh, and who knows how many babies they saved. And Pharaoh had to change his whole strategy because they weren't cooperating with what he wanted to do. And so I hope that every listener will learn from Shipra and Pua. They did what they could do in their corner, and God not only used them, but he blessed them as a result as well. So, but any thoughts that come to your mind before you jump into just sharing that? Any thoughts about Shipra and Pua and what they did that come to your mind you want to share about?
I believe that the lesson that I learned through that, and it really helps me in my day-to-day life, especially as I deal in politics, is to always fear God and obey God. And that's what they did. I mean, you know, even in times when things were difficult and, you know, powerful people they had to stand up against, you know, we do that in our day-to-day life every day with Missouri Right to Life when we deal with politics. And, you know, we run across great people, but then we also run across, you know, situations where we have to stand for the truth of Scripture. And we have to obey God. You know, we're not living just for the moment here right now. We're living for what God has told us to do on while we are here on this earth. And sometimes that's not easy. But so fearing God and obeying God, that should be our number one call.
And every believer is called to it. So thank you for sharing that. So, but please go right ahead and share what was mainly on your heart that you wanted to share with our listeners about today.
Well, for many years, for roughly 50 years, we lived with Roe versus Wade, which was abortion on demand all 9 months of pregnancy. It broke our hearts, but yet we worked under the law and worked to pass legislation. And then on June 24th of 2022, Dobbs overturned Roe. And it was an amazing day that I thought a lot of us never would see in our lifetime. And we had the opportunity then in each of our states to decide through our legislative bodies how we were going to protect women and save babies and protect them from the horrendous abortion procedures. So on June the 24th of 2022, we celebrated and then we all went back to work. Many of us, many states across the United States had language in place in our statutes that said when Roe is overturned, we will be able to pass laws and decide in each of our individual states how we would protect babies and moms. And Missouri had put in place what we call a trigger law, which basically says that when Roe is overturned, abortion will be banned in the state of Missouri with the exception of a health exception. Life of the mother is that health exception. It's not an open-ended health for any reasons. It's a life of the mother and a medical emergency. And so we had that in place in 2022, and Missouri was the first state. It flashed across Fox News. I was actually at a National Right to Life convention. That Missouri was the first state to ban abortion after Roe was overturned. And again, we celebrated, and then we went right to work because we knew that those that support abortion would be coming after us. We saw some of that in Kansas, our neighbor, when they were trying to ensure that abortion was not in their constitution. They were the first state to fall. And then there were several states thereafter. Missouri is one of 24 states that has an initiative petition process outside of our referendum process. So initiative petition, a citizen-led initiative petition, is where people can go around our state, collect signatures, and put something on the ballot for people to vote on. A referendum is a process that works through our legislative body and puts something on the ballot for people to work on. With our pro-life majorities this year, 2025, we were able to put a referendum on the ballot for 2026. And that is in response to what happened in the state of Missouri in 2024. The pro-abortion forces came in. They, with their millions of dollars, led a citizen initiative petition process, and were able to put language on our ballot after many, many court cases and court battles, language on our ballot that really deceived the general public. It was known as Amendment 3. Brought $30 million from outside sources into the state of Missouri. 80% of that came from outside of Missouri, people who don't live here, outside of Missouri and outside of the United States. Basically put in our Constitution the right to do abortion all 9 months of pregnancy without any boundaries or guidelines. And so that, you know, that was an attack that we knew would come. We didn't know it would come so soon after Dobbs overturned Roe. But we had begun to prepare because we were seeing it happen in other states. So in 2024, all that money that came into Missouri brought TV commercials that that had lies and deceptions about what was happening in Missouri. We had a life of the mother exception and a medical emergency. Those that support abortion began to tell the citizens of the state of Missouri, oh, women are at risk in Missouri because they cannot get help for ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages, which was absolutely not true. But they began to put fear into Missouri citizens that that women's health was at risk, women's lives was at risk. And so we fought hard. We put up against their money. We didn't match their money. We fought hard to try to make that not go into our Constitution, that people would know the truth, that they would vote no on that. And we came very, very close. We did not match their money. We were $5 million to their $30 million. And we lost by only 1.6%. We were all devastated that day. In 2024, in November 2024, when Amendment 3 passed, and we then had abortion, and still do today, have abortion all 9 months of pregnancy with no boundaries, no guidelines. But we have fought back. We have fought back through our legislative body. We have fought back through our wonderful pro-life Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, in all the court battles that have ensued since November of 2024, and we're working to overturn Amendment 3 and get abortion on demand, all 9 months of pregnancy, out of our Missouri Constitution. Life is precious, and we do not want these babies to be killed, and we don't want women to suffer the loss of an abortion that will take their baby's life that they will live with for the rest of their lives. So we've worked to try to make sure that the health and safety regulations that are required for abortion clinics to follow are in place. A judge overturned that those health and safety regulations. Our attorney general was able to sue and appeal that decision, and the Missouri Supreme Court has reinstated those health and safety regulations at this time. But Amendment 3 is still in our Constitution, And so our legislative body in 2025 really stepped up to the plate. They knew that we could not have abortion on demand all 9 months of pregnancy in Missouri. Missouri is a very pro-life state. You see that through the makeup of our legislation and the legislation that we've passed over the many, many years. There are many pieces that we passed. There are over 60 pieces of pro-life legislation that that we have worked to pass with our legislative body. We've worked through our PAC to have super majorities in our House and our Senate of pro-life legislators. We have all six statewide office holders are pro-life, and they've all been helping us in trying to get the truth out. So during this last legislative session, there were three pieces of legislation that are very important for people to know about. And I think other states that have been through what Missouri has and pro-abortion forces coming in and trying to take over their constitution, I think, you know, they're watching what happens in Missouri. So these three pieces of legislation are really important. The first one is, and it's Senate Bill 22, and it basically addresses how the Secretary of State will deal with initiative petitions and referendums. And it basically says that a court or one judge cannot rewrite the ballot language to mislead people, that they have to go, the court has to go back to our Secretary of State three times to discuss, rewrite, have the Secretary of State rewrite, work with the legislators, and relook at the language that's going to be on the ballot. This is important for Missouri and for other states as well, because the courts were not our friends when we were dealing with the language in 2024 on the abortion on demand, all 9 months of pregnancy. They rewrote the ballot. The court rewrote the ballot language and gave deceptive language to the people of Missouri when they went to the polls. So this piece of legislation really puts a boundaries and guidelines on that process to give our Secretary of State more oversight in what people will see on the ballot when they go to vote. So that piece was very important, and that was instrumental because of what happened in 2024. And so our legislators stepped up to the plate to address that issue. The other thing they stepped up to point out is in Senate Bill 152, it prevents foreign spending in state ballot measures. So no longer can outside forces send in $30 million. The money to fight an initiative petition or a state ballot measure has to come from people within the state of Missouri. And so that's really important for us, because if you don't live in Missouri or any state that's going to fight this battle, then you shouldn't be sending money in to try to, downgrade our way of life and what we value in the state that we live in. So that is another point that our legislative body saw that did not help us in 2024. It really hurt us. So our legislative body stepped up for that. But the big thing that our legislative body said was, we will not let Amendment 3 stand in our Constitution, abortion on demand, all 9 months of pregnancy, without any guidelines or any boundaries. So they stepped up to the plate and they worked on this. And Missouri Right to Life really helped in the writing of this ballot language that I'm going to read to you. But we polled Missourians to find out, where are you? How do you value life? What is going on with life in Missouri that is important to you? And so this ballot language was put together through the referendum process. Again, this is the process where our legislative body writes the legislation and writes the ballot language and sends it to the Secretary of State. So we see this, it is citizen-led in a way, because the citizens of Missouri have elected our legislative body. They have decided who they want to represent them in the state of Missouri, as well as in Washington. So it is really citizen-led from the perspective that we've sent our legislators there. We believe in life. Therefore, we have a supermajority of pro-life legislators in our House and in our Senate. And it is those legislators that came together and wrote House Joint Resolution 73. We know it as HJR 73. It's a joint resolution that is agreed upon by our House members and our Senate members, the majority of them, and then put in a referendum process, goes directly to the Secretary of State, and goes to the ballot. So it has been well vetted and been polled, the language that that citizens of Missouri are going to see on the ballot. It is not a total ban on abortion, because that's not where Missouri citizens are at this time, but it is very tightly written to give very few exceptions, and that's less than 1%. And I will read that to you when we come back, I guess.
Okay. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Susan Klein. She's the Executive Director for Missouri Right to Life. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls, and every
of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Susan Klein. She's the Executive Director of Missouri Right to Life. And Susan, very powerful just in view of how that you're laying out what you might even call kind of a playbook for other states to really listen and learn from, because again, we do see how that sadly the other side seems to have made some significant progress in trying to undo what Roe v. Wade was meant to accomplish. And so praise God for God's people that are in the state of Missouri doing something to really powerfully address that problem in a state that had one of these state ballot initiatives. So before you get into sharing further about HJR 73, would you pray for the church and just for the state as a whole to really get further involved in the process in the ways the Lord would have them to be involved?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think this is so important. The church has got to be our leader in the battles that we fight ahead. So I'll pray for our churches and pray for our pastors as we all work together to make sure that God's truth comes out. Father, I just thank you for your blessings again, for your sacrifice for us, that you sent, you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and never let us take that for granted. Let us know every day that Jesus walks with us and guides us. I know, Lord, that churches face many challenges, but I also know without the church that we have no hope. without Jesus in our life. And so I just ask that you be with the churches as we talk about the issues, and let churches not operate in fear. Lord, you know that many times that people try to squelch the church and squelch their ability to share the truth. And Lord, we know that the church can be a leader. We know that they helped us in the battle in the past, and that they will be there for us in the future. So we pray that you will give the church strength. The pastors of those churches will not be scared to speak out and work to, you know, protect life from the very beginning, from conception to natural death. We pray for all the churches in our state, in Missouri. We pray for our churches across the United States that they will boldly step out and preach your word in season and out of season, when it's easy and when it's tough, and deal with the issues that that we all you know, are challenged with when we talk to our fellow citizens across the state, people that we come in contact every day. So I pray for the church that they will be bold. I pray for the pastors that they will speak up and let their congregation know the truth of God's word and how God values and cherishes every life, and that he fearfully and wonderfully made us from the very beginning, even before we were even thought about. So I just pray for the churches that they will do your word, step up, be our leaders for our nation, and give us the foundation that we need to fight the battles in compassion and Christian love. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray this.
And Father, I too thank you for the opportunity we as your people, the people of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, have of being able to be your hands and feet in the world. And Lord, thank you for how that you've reached through individuals such as Susan and other believers that are part of her staff, and believers in other circles who are in places such as the state legislature and elsewhere, who are seeking to be your ambassadors, your hands and feet in the right place at the right time to help bring about your will. Lord, pour out the spirit of courage and boldness upon your church. More and more, help us as pastors and leaders in the church and the church as a whole to really step up to the plate to be and do all that you want us to be and do, and help us to end the tragedy of abortion. Help us to not be fearful of having more events that address the life issue, and help us more and more to provide, for example, a platform for the post-abortive individual who's able to share their story and share how the Spirit of God can forgive and use them to be a bright light for your kingdom and for life as well. Help us to listen to you and faithfully obey you as your church in these regards. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Susan, if you'll pick up where you left off, as you were sharing about HJR 73. And again, I'm certainly hopeful that many believers in many other places beyond Missouri will listen and learn from the wisdom God has poured out upon the leadership in Missouri to do what you're doing and to put in, to seek to put into place the things you're seeking to put into. But if you'll pick up where you left off, please.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Joseph. I want your listeners to know that the language that I'm going to read was prayed over. We prayed with our legislators as we looked to how this was going to be worded. We cried, we wept on how the language would come together and what would be in it. And because we know from Scripture, life begins at conception. So as we listen to these words, I want you to, your listeners to know, we prayed about this. We also wrote the language in the piece of legislation so that it is very tightly written to make sure that it is not abused by the abortion industry. So when our citizens of Missouri will go to the ballot, go to the polls in November of 2026, they will see this language on the ballot unless the court process changes it somewhere in the legal battles ahead of us. So right now, the language written by the legislators, as well as Missouri Right to Life in our polling and prayed over, reads, and this is what people will see on the ballot in November of 2026, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to guarantee access to care for medical emergencies, ectopic pregnancies, and miscarriages, ensure women's safety during abortions, ensure parental consent for minors, allow abortions for medical emergencies, fetal anomalies, rape, and incest, require physicians to provide medically accurate information, and protect children from gender transition. As I read this, many probably thought, well, but you've got allow abortions for medical emergencies, fetal anomalies, rape, and incest. That language is written so tightly that it will be less than 1% of any abortion done in the state of Missouri. So this is the part that we really cried and wept over. But this is where Missourians are. This is why I think it's so important for the church to be part of the education about how precious life is and how God values every single life. We know that one abortion is one too many. But we also know that this is how we get abortion all 9 months of pregnancy out of our state constitution and put in its place boundaries and guidelines and allow for our legislators to pass legislation to protect women and babies, and also allow for our attorney general to go out and fight and in a court, any body that is going to abuse the situation on and value of life. So, and our Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, is doing that, as I said before. But this language has been prayed over. We know that this is where Missourians are. We know that we can win with this language. We know that we also will be able to come back and address this language in years to come. So, this is, unless the governor calls an election in August of 2026, the legislators have written to put this on the ballot in November of 2026. So between now and then, we work through either court processes or through our legislative body in our next legislative session. And we work to get this back before the people so that the people of Missouri can get abortion on demand, all 9 months of pregnancy, out of our Missouri state constitution. It's a difficult thing because prior to Amendment 3 going in our constitution in 2024, we did not have these exceptions in our statutes or our constitution. But now we have in our Constitution right to abortion all 9 months of pregnancy, and we have to fight to get that out. That is just not acceptable.
Well, our time is just about completely gone, Susan. But thank you again so much for coming on and sharing. And if someone wants to get in touch with you or with Missouri Right to Life, or they're just wanting to learn more information about some of the work that you do, the mission behind Missouri Right to Life, or specifically want to learn more about HJR 73, how can they do that?
You can go to our website at www.missourilife.org. Missouri is spelled out, Missouri, LIFE.org. Or you can give us a call at our office at 573-635-5110. Obviously, I think Missouri is being watched, by states across the United States. It's going to be a big battle for us ahead of us. And, anything that anyone would want to help us do in this battle to win, we would so much appreciate it. But your prayers are absolutely the number one foundation to help us. So I would encourage people to get involved and help us out in any way. We know we have supporters across the United States. They helped us with phone banking last time. They helped us. They came into Missouri and went door to door knocking with us. So we just cherish everybody's prayers, and also anything that you could do to help us, you can find on our MissouriLife.org website.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Susan, for coming and sharing about the work of Missouri Right to Life, and specifically about this upcoming ballot initiative. And I'm hoping, it's our hope that every listener, we're encouraging every listener to pray much for the state of Missouri with regards to this matter and Missouri Right to Life in this very important kingdom endeavor. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and give your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. I've sinned in many ways. Lord, I repent of those wrongs. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey your word daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Let me remind you, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. And please do pray much for Susan Klein, the Executive Director of Missouri Right to Life, and for the Ministry of Missouri Right to Life, and other ministries that are on the front lines doing the great kingdom work that needs to be done to stand for life. And pray for the state of Missouri with regards to this upcoming ballot initiative. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.